At the advent of the 1848 gold rush, there were less than 175,000 residents in the entire territory of California. But with lightning speed, San Francisco became the hub of West Coast businesses and enterprise. By 1861, Western Union telegraph lines connected the city by the bay with Washington, D.C., and by 1869, the Transcontinental Railway was delivering passengers from the East Coast in relative comfort and speed. Just 10 years after the conclusion of the Civil War, San Francisco was firmly established as a major city, and it was propelled by the likes of Henry Wells and William Fargo, Leland Stanford, Crocker, Huntington, and their railroad and Comstock load compatriots. Banker William Ralston envisioned the creation of the largest and most opulent hotel in the city, the Palace Hotel. When it opened its doors in 1875, it was heralded as the largest in America. The Palace instantly became the place to stay, to see, and be seen. Ulysses S. Grant and President McKinley came to stay, and sadly, this is where King David Kalakaua, Hawaii's last royal king, died. The hotel survived the 1906 earthquake, but was consumed by the ensuing fires that raged down Market Street. Rebuilt and reopened in 1909, the hotel welcomed President Woodrow Wilson, hosted a banquet for the opening session of the United Nations, and subsequently received Nikita Khrushchev, Nixon, and more. The legendary Palace Hotel lives on today as the most historic hotel in the city by the bay. I'm Tom Wilmer. Please join me at the Palace for a conversation with Renee Roberts, who talks about the hotel's illustrious past and present. Tell us about the history of the Palace. That's my first love of this place, in addition to the architecture.
It is a magical, magical hotel. The history of the hotel is that we are San Francisco's most historic property. The original hotel was built in 1875. It was the dream of William Sharon and William Ralston. When the hotel opened, it was the largest hotel in the world. It was an innovator of its time. It was the only hotel that had what they referred to in those days as rising rooms. We now know them as elevators. They had private baths, which was an absolute luxury. There were telegraphs on every floor, so means of communication was very accessible for the guests. And it was just a spectacular place. People flocked from around the world to see this magnificent hotel. You know, as we sit here in the beautiful garden court, when they built this property, did they think that we would be sitting here today, right? 100 years or so later, 2009 marked 100 years of the new hotel.
As we're sitting here, you'll have to help me infill, but I know for a fact that when this hotel opened, carriages came in, and I think they came into this space. That's how you arrived inside the hotel in your carriage. Wow.
What we see today is actually not what it looked like then. The garden court was, I always say, born in 1909. But this space, this footprint, actually was the carriage entrance to the hotel. And built up and around the courtyard were guest rooms. So you could hear the clip-clopping of the horses arriving, and the carriages would come in, and the guests would exit the carriage and then check into the hotel. And then certainly with the invention of the automobile and the changes of the times, that became obsolete. And then when the hotel was destroyed with the 1906 earthquake, there was no hotel left, unfortunately. When Ralston and Sharon built the property, they really had the foresight to build a very sound structure. And the hotel did survive the shake of the quake, but unfortunately, the city had tapped into the hotel's sub-basement water source. And when the fires were not able to be extinguished and they raged through the city, by the time they reached the palace, we had no water. And so the hotel was burned and completely gutted and just crumbled from the inside out.
What's the book? The earth shook, the sky burned.
And so did the palace, unfortunately. And so it's always been amazing to me that, you know, in a 3-year period in those days, they built a brand new hotel that was bigger, better, and more beautiful than the one that had fallen. And, you know, today, in a 3-year period, it's amazing, but it takes long to, you know, to do something, to create that kind of magic. When the hotel was unveiled in 1909, It gave the city of San Francisco numerous treasures, one of which is the Garden Court. And people see the hotel today as it was in 1909. We are sitting in a room right now under a beautiful dome glass ceiling that is adorned with shimmering Austrian crystal chandeliers. All the marble is original, the Italian Ionic marble in the room, and it is truly magnificent.
When the Palace Hotel reopened in 1909, was it the coolest place in the city by far?
Of course, I'm going to think so, yes.
But the common commentary at the time was...
People were in awe. I mean, again, when it was originally built, it was the largest hotel in the world, and it was considered to be very grand. But when you reopen a hotel and you unveil this, the Garden Court, commissioning a painting from Maxfield Parrish that's an original 8-foot by 16-foot mural, I mean... I think people were just, as I said, in awe. It's magnificent, and the hotel continued to hold its position and has continued to hold its position in San Francisco as the true Grand Dame. It's where everybody wants to come and see because it is an historic icon in the city.
And what's really cool, it remains in the heart, the dead center, downtown, walkable to anywhere part of San Francisco.
It really is, and as San Francisco has grown over the years, there is even more to offer our guests. We are surrounded by wonderful museums. We have MoMA, which is just around the corner, San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. We are just blocks away from numerous art galleries, incredible shopping in San Francisco, from the finest designer boutiques to very unique indigenous shops in San Francisco to large shopping centers where you have all the brand, you know, anchor stores.
All of this is doable by leaving your car in the garage the entire time you're staying here.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that.
It is really magical. And then with the ferry building being developed, I mean, it is so amazing to walk down Market Street to the Embarcadero. You can walk along the Embarcadero, certainly take in the ferry building and all it has to offer, which is so signature San Francisco.
Tell the listener a little bit, insiders, look at the ferry building because it's a different world than it was 15 years ago, that's for sure.
The ferry building is amazing. As I said, it's signature San Francisco. There are artisans and local purveyors and farm fresh items down there that you can't find anywhere else. And the experience of walking in there is, it's very bustling and the energy is wonderful and there's beautiful things to look at. There's amazing things to eat, wonderful wine to drink. And just the whole vibe is so San Francisco.
And let's talk about the Farmers Market out front. Tell us about when that is and then what it is. That's cool.
The Farmers Market at the Ferry Building Marketplace occurs on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And I don't think I have ever been to a Farmers Market that is that grand. There are hundreds of vendors there. Every kind of fruit, vegetable, amazing baked product from empanadas to unique, you know, pastries that someone's making locally. And it is all local. And it's such a nod to what's happening in and around the Bay Area. And it is the mecca of the culinary community.
So it's Christmas time right now. And I understand that right down the street, just arms reach away, there's ice skating.
Yes, we have wonderful skating here in San Francisco. A magical place to ice skate along the waterfront is at the Holiday Ice Rink at Embarcadero Center. The setting is like no other in the city. The rink is large and spacious, and you are surrounded by beautifully lit, iconic buildings.
With a ferry building right across the street.
Ferry building's right across the street, so you can skate, and then you park your car if you skate. There's many days where you can park for free, and then you can dine down there, you can shop down there, and it's really wonderful, and it's walking distance from the palace, and we have an amazing holiday package for families for this holiday season where you can get passes to the ice skating rink, enjoy children's prince and princess tea at the palace in the garden court, luxury suite accommodations for the family, and all sorts of wonderful amenities, so it's really great.
Tell us about the restoration of the Pied Piper. That's interesting, and the genesis of the name.
The Pied Piper of Hamlin Painting was painted for the hotel for the 1909 reopening by the artist Maxfield Parrish. And he painted a few fairy tale themed paintings in his career, one of which we have. Well, there's a few others, but one in particular hangs in the St. Regis Hotel, our sister property in New York. And the Pied Piper was, you know, he was inspired by the fairy tale. Parrish was also known for illustrating fairy tale books. He created the Pied Piper in 1909, and it hangs in its namesake bar. But most recently, in 2013, the painting was sent to New York for major restoration. It had been in the bar since the hotel reopened in 1909 and only moved three times in its life.
Was it called the Pied Piper Bar in 1909 when it opened, or did it transform into a bar space?
It was once the Happy Valley Bar, and then but the Pied Piper lived there, and then it became the Pied Piper Bar. The painting, during renovation in 1989, the painting was moved to the de Young Museum for safekeeping, and the only other time before that that it was moved was during Prohibition. They moved it out of the bar, and it lived in the hotel's Rose Ballroom. They used to do a number of big, grand dances with big band, Desi Arnaz, and all that wonderful.
Oh, really? Oh, so yeah. This was the place.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, tell us a little bit more about that era. That's cool.
Yes, actually, KCBS Radio used to be housed here at the Palace Hotel, and so they used to broadcast live from the Rose Room at the Palace, and Glenn Miller, Desi Arnaz, these big bands that were big dance bands, everybody would dress to the nines, and they would come in for dinner dancing, and we actually even used to do dinner theater sometimes, too. So it was really the place to be. In those days, people really went out in style, and they used to go to hotels to celebrate and to entertain. I think perhaps there were not as many freestanding restaurants, and you know, now we're surrounded by all these amazing city, San Francisco restaurants, so it's a little different, but it was certainly a grand era for the Palace.
And the grandeur continues, doesn't it?
It sure does. It's a spectacular place. It's a magical place where people really create memories. We have generations of people that celebrate family traditions here, and we are seeing young people here all the time, taking in the history, appreciating such a magnificent place in San Francisco, and truly just enjoying all the Palace has to offer.
For the up-and-coming generation, the Palace is a rare opportunity to kind of dip back into a classical era along the West Coast.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that the hotel is really wonderful at creating for guests is that we balance that tradition and that we honor our history, yet we do very exciting, innovative things in our culinary world, in our event world. And so there's a lot to offer. There really is something for everyone.
And I think that understated elegance, even though it is grand, even though it is opulent, there is something understated about it all. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely do. I think it's sort of a silent beauty, you know, when you're just not overly confident and you don't need to do too much because it is what it is. It's not off-putting. You know, there are some things that are a little intimidating, but the hotel feels very welcoming. The guest rooms are really comfortable and warm and welcoming. And just there's the activity in the hotel and the energy is really wonderful and part of the overall experience.
I think another interesting element is that there is an allure of the Palace Hotel that would be a draw for any time, any purpose, but there's a parallel attraction in that it's a great place for special occasions, honeymoons, anniversaries, weddings, you name it, birthday parties. What a great place to come and have all your friends join you.
It absolutely is, and we have a lot of guests that come to the Palace, and we hear these stories all the time about young people that came here when they were children and they waited their whole life to get married here, or they waited, you know, their whole life to have their 30th birthday party. And it's true, and we make that magic happen for them. And then on the other end, we've had people that have celebrated their 80th anniversary here. And, you know, it's just amazing. But the weddings that are done here are just unforgettable. I mean, there's no more beautiful setting in San Francisco.
I love it. Hollywood memories, huh?
Yeah.
Like stage set.
Absolutely. I think we've seen a lot of happy brides and grooms come through these doors.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon.